I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God. No. And Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me, God damn it. Do it harder. Make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
See, now Eric Kasny is the first fucker to retweet this, and I've got his Milwaukee Bucks hat on.
Oh, right, wow. There.
Just check that out. That's what that's all about. He's going to think I'm his boyfriend pretty soon. They got some big time rednecks up there in Wisconsin. I think they got some rednecks up there that would walk the dog over some of those dudes you knew in Davie County or some of the guys I knew in Transylvania County.
I wouldn't doubt it, man. I've seen some of those Wisconsin football players. They're huge.
Big cheese curd filled motherfuckers. Oh my God. They're just full of cheese curd and beer and brats. Just walking
summer
hulks. Walking behemoths is what they are. Have you got it retweeted?
No, I'm looking for it. I mean, I put my phone over here, but
it's time for the feel good episode of Katie Vick is Alive Alive.
That's what we're here for, always. Yeah.
God almighty.
The feel good.
That's what we're here for, ladies and gentlemen.
God damn. Has anything else just gone to shit since we've started talking in the last 5 minutes or so?
No, give it some time.
Well,
it's like, you know, it'd just be nice if 2020 would just kind of cruise on by and just kind of go away. No, kicking, screaming, pooping on itself.
Yeah.
Just biting at you, trying to stab you.
But the thing about it is, dude, you know, January 1st is not going to be like, whoop, reset. You know, it's going to be virtually the same. It's going to be the same for a while, I think, until, first of all, first things first, we need to get you-know-who out of you-know-where.
You-know-where.
Real effing soon, you know. So
we're just getting politics out of the way real early. I'm surprised that he hasn't used the Nashville explosion thing to try to grift his followers for some more money, because that's what this election thing's all about, right?
Of course.
Fight the election fraud and put more money into my kids' stupid pockets. Oh, wait a minute. No, we're fighting election fraud, illegal votes. And then, no, it's not like that.
They'll never see the light. They'll never see it, you know.
Now he can just put something up there. Help me strike back against the Nashville bomber. Give $20 to my coke-infested sons.
Here you go. Here's another $20 I got. I made it last week. I was going to feed the kids.
Donnie Jr. has been almost 5 days without cocaine. Won't you help him?
Well, let me throw in another 10. I didn't know all that.
GoFundMe.com/Donnie Jr.'s Nose Candy. If you want to go ahead and help out, there's an enterprising young man that needs your cocaine.
Immediately.
It's only been about 24 hours since we learned about the death of Brody Lee. I want to say that I did some shows with Bruce Mitchell on adfreeshows.com, which is Conrad's platform where you can get all the stuff from Eric Bischoff and Art Anderson and Bruce Pritchard and JR and plus bonus content and all that stuff. And then Bruce does a daily hotline there. And we did a 3-part thing in the days leading up to Christmas and on Christmas Day itself about why it does not bother Bruce to be called the Jagoff from Greensboro or the Greensboro Jagoff by Bruce Pritchard. And it's a pretty funny story. And it starts with Pritchard, and it ends up with a porn star. We go through an entire arc of stuff. So there's a lot of stuff there at Free Shows, and I enjoyed it. We'll get back to Bruce in just a moment. We've learned about the death of Brody Lee at the age of 41, which is tragic, and your heart goes out to his entire family, young children, young wife, all that stuff. We don't know much about the details. They just have released a statement saying that it was not a COVID-related lung issue, but that's why he passed away. And it sparked a lot of curiosity as to what the exact story is. I think I saw a picture of JR with Brody's son, who they took to the Jaguars game today. He's up in the suite. So God bless the, you know, the Khan family for doing that. That's an amazing thing. And everyone has released statements about the former Luke Harper, who was known as Brody Lee in AEW, and just what a sweetheart of a man. I don't think, Bryant, you're going to find a bad word to be said about that guy. Just a sweetheart of an individual. What did you think when you heard the news?
Of course, you know, being the human that I am, I'm like, how did that happen?
Right.
So I wanted to know how it happened, because I'd heard it. First of all, I didn't know he was in any kind of bad medical shape of any kind. I really didn't know what was going on with him. I just knew he hadn't been on AEW for a while. And then I saw it, and of course I looked it up and saw it. And so, you know, what you said about the non-COVID related lung disorder or whatever it was. And I just thought that was weird that he had something like that. That's just so off the wall. It seems like, I mean, I'm not saying people don't die from that all the time, unfortunately, but I don't know. You would thought there was some sort of background of issues with him about that, you know, but maybe there were, and nobody knew about him except like relatives and stuff. I don't know. But yeah, I just thought everything was odd and sad. And yeah, I don't know, man. And I read all kinds of, you know, like you did, a lot of eulogies, I guess, for lack of a better term, online from all the boys and girls. And I have to say, man, the Bray Wyatt one, if you hadn't read that one yet, oh my gosh, I think that was one that got me the most. But
that was amazing. And that was amazing. And they had the fan picture of Brody in heaven kind of waving to the rest of the Wyatt family, right?
Yeah.
That was I thought Kevin Owens was very eloquent, and he had some
pictures. I hadn't seen that one.
Owens had some pictures of him in a helicopter with Brody back when he was Luke Harper, and they were doing an aerial tour of Hawaii from a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
And it was really very sweet, and he was being goofy and making faces to the camera, and the beard was flying up and all of those things. So it was very nice, and I'm very grateful to Kevin Owens for sharing that, because that's, you know, that I think that's amazing. And it's like the best thing you can do right now to kind of help people cover. But yes, this is the cherry on the shit Sunday that is 2020, right? You wake up,
I'm telling you,
the day after Christmas, and oh, by the way, a 41-year-old wrestler has passed away. And this is when Tony Khan got into the business, and I'm hearing a lot of that by like right now, because I'm listening to the Young Bucks book, which is pretty interesting from a guy who has some affinity for them, but also has, you know, I've got some antipathy toward the Young Bucks. I'm not going to lie, but the book is very interesting, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But
who does the narrating?
It's nobody that you would understand. It's someone who thinks that Canyon Seaman's name is pronounced Canyon Cayman.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my God. How did they get this through?
I don't know. And he doesn't.
Okay.
Know,
never mind.
They're trying to get him to do the chant, and he's like, the elite. The elite, and he doesn't. No. The elite, and he doesn't. And superkick party, and he doesn't understand the cadence or anything like that. So
yeah.
Perhaps, boys, maybe invest in somebody who actually gets it, or at least coach the guy through it next time. I don't know. Again,
right?
Nobody's asking me for my book, so I don't know how that all works out.
Your book's doing as well as your territory,
easily. So when Tony Khan got into the wrestling business, and he thought, well, you know, I'll do this. I don't know if he ever had the idea that this was going to be one of the duties that he has, you know, as a wrestling promoter and an owner of a promotion, that he would have to make these sorts of statements and have to deal with families of guys that pass away under his tutelage. But here you are. I mean, here you go, buddy. You wanted to get into the wrestling business, and this was not in the job description, and this was not anything that you ever thought of when you put it on the spreadsheet. All right, we got to buy a ring. We need some logos. Got to get some trademarks and some patents. And I don't think this ever came into his purview, and it really doesn't and shouldn't. But that's unfortunately one of the things that's had to happen over the years. The McMahon family releasing statements also about the former Luke Harper, and a lot of praise for him as well. But, you know, it's just an incredibly tragic situation. And Bruce Mitchell is getting a little bit of heat for a column that he's posting on the free site. I'm going to read some of this, because he's openly questioning why the Lee family hasn't been more transparent with why he died. And some people are I saw on Twitter, were getting after him about, well, You need to respect the family's privacy. And I and Bruce was like, well, this is kind of bigger than that. Let me read some of this stuff that he's got in here. That leaves the issue of why Brody Lee, his family, and AEW kept such a tight lid on information during his illness. People who have had COVID-19 have gotten lung damage that remained after the virus had left their system, and they tested negatively for it. Could this be what Key's wife, Lee's wife meant when he had already recovered from a bout with COVID-19 and was then suffering from this lung issue? Why would the family at AEW stay so quiet about what was going on if it was not COVID-19 related at all? Our country as a whole has not effectively worked together to lower the odds of the pandemic growing, and now we're in the midst of a surge that has made COVID-19 more dangerous than before. Do you know people who have suffered and died from COVID-19 now? I do, Bruce writes. There's even the possibility that the virus is mutated to become even more deadly. Vaccines may very well turn out to be effective in the fight to push back COVID-19, but at best that pushback is months away. There's no guarantee in the face of this that pro wrestling or the NCAA or any other major league sports will see their way clear to continue in the face of how strong the pandemic surge is now. And this is where I'm going to pause just a moment from what he's writing, and this will blow away you and probably Bruce Mitchell. I'm very proud of Mike Krzyzewski for bringing up the concerns that he has. You know, I think Mike Krzyzewski has brought up some great concerns and has been a voice for all of this stuff and has openly raised the question of whether they should be playing college basketball right now.
Yeah. The thing about it is, I don't know how to take that. Does that
Coach K,
you understand that?
Coach K or somebody's rib.
Well, I mean, we all know the whole thing going back to the Pete Gaudette issue thing and that whole rumor mill going.
Exactly.
And, you know, it was never confirmed one way or the other. But regardless, you got to wonder why he's so outspoken about it. Is it because that he's firsthand? I mean, not that you have to have firsthand experience with somebody with COVID or anything to be overly concerned about it. But it just seems like, of all people, it doesn't seem like he would be. Why is he the one that's so concerned about it? I guess why aren't more coaches concerned about it than just him?
He's got the power and the influence that a lot of coaches do not. I mean, there's very few people that are on that level to have that kind of influence.
You're right.
Maybe Calipari, maybe Boeheim, but there's only a handful of others.
Yeah, and you would think Boeheim would be right on board with what's going on with Syracuse right now, you know? But
it's very odd.
Maybe he is. We just don't hear about it. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if he's sincere about it, and I hate to say that, because if he is sincere about it, I hate to make it sound like he's not being sincere, but I'm sorry. But if he's sincere about – Krzyzewski's sincere about all this, then, yeah, man, I'm with you. I applaud him for doing that.
I would also say that further, as we've had a time to reflect over the past 6 or 7 months over the role of racial relations in America, when you talk about mostly African-American kids that may or may not be being exploited for millions upon millions of dollars – and we're not going to hundreds of millions and in some cases billions of dollars, and their entire safety and possibly the safety of their families are being put at risk. I don't think those are bad questions to ask. You know, as we've tried to reflect on what's happened in America, I've always felt uncomfortable with a lot of these sports starting back. I always thought the NBA, even last year in the bubble, when they were like, oh, things are great here in the bubble and everything's fine, I thought, aren't we? And even though these guys are getting – some of these guys are being paid a tremendous amount of money, like life-changing generational money, isn't there still an exploitative part of this that kind of supersedes all of it? And if you take away somebody who's 25, 26, 27 years old or 30 years old and take them away and they die, I've always felt like what would it be like if we had one of the superstar athletes, one of the big-name players in the NBA pass away from COVID-19. I don't know, maybe not LeBron, but James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Damon Lillard, like some of the guys, some of the names that people would know.
Yeah,
if you follow sports fairly closely.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the thing with Coach K is we're doing this, and granted, at Duke, if you go to class and do what you're supposed to do, you can get a world-class education and a degree that means something. I'll give you all of that. But a lot of those guys don't get those degrees, and we're doing the one-and-done thing like crazy now.
Especially there.
Absolutely. They've completely bought into it. So I think Coach K is right to bring this stuff up. And it does, to me, bring up, you know, points of exploitation and racial diversity and racial equality and all of that stuff. So, I mean, I applaud him for doing it. You're right. There's always kind of a suspect, like, side eye thing. He's considering this. Would I take him at his word on this?
I guess so. I mean, I there has to be an issue. I mean, maybe there doesn't have to be an issue. It just seems like there. I don't know. Maybe it's just the fact that I'm surprised that no more coaches have jumped on board with this.
Yeah.
And just him. And all this time, and it's just hard for me to get over the fact that maybe there is a heart inside that Grinch body, you know?
It's weird because I hear a lot of, this is really tough because I don't want to paint these guys all with the same brush, but I hear all these coaches, oh, I love the kids so much. I'm all about the kids. I want to lift the kids up, you know, all that horseshit.
Yeah.
And then when it comes down to it, no, you just like the gravy train. You like the zeros in your bank account, which is fine because if I was, you know, if I had about 9 zeros in my bank account, it'd probably be pretty cool too.
I'd be all right.
But, you know, I
should be.
And I mentioned the name John Calipari, but, you know, he seems to me to be a disingenuous little man.
I would take Coach K over that any day.
I mean, there's that, but then there's some of these guys that I sincerely like. I'll just mention it. I like Fran McCaffrey at Iowa. I think he cares about the kids and stuff, but like you said, he's not been vocal about this shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it just, I don't know, man. Out of what, 300, almost nearly 400 Division I coaches, and Coach K is like the only one.
Well, there's only a few that are going to be at the level he's at to be able to talk like that. And maybe
since he's stepped up and said some of these other ones would follow suit, you know?
Oh, he's been given clearance for sure. There's no question. Like it would not, now that he's blocked for them, it wouldn't take much for a Bill Self or a Roy Williams or a Jerry Boeheim or a Jim Boeheim. I'm sorry. I keep calling him Jerry. I've done that my entire life. Jim Boeheim or any of the well-known, Calipari is one of them, one of the well-known elite Division I coaches to come forward. But these guys are mostly, you know, silent.
Yeah. It boggles my mind, man.
It does. It's wild. Continuing on Bruce's piece, the one thing that will put a stop to any of these sports faster than anything is the death of a major player like the University of Florida Gators college basketball star Kevontae Johnson, who was put on a ventilator after collapsing on the court during a game or a major national TV pro wrestling star dying because of something relating to this. I'm not a doctor, but I've never heard of an athlete the size and shape Brody Lee was in to be able to excel in his last two matches, suddenly developing a lung condition that's serious that quickly.
That's what I'm saying.
It's odd because we're being told certain things that are so believable about an election and about changing ballots and about ballot dumps and stuff. And we're supposed to buy into that. See, that's bullshit. That's a conspiracy theory. This, what Bruce is bringing up, is reality. And these are good questions.
Yeah.
Whatever the
and let me say this real fast. And I understand why somebody said that about respecting the privacy. And normally, yes. Normally, yeah. Would you not agree? Normally,
oh, yeah. We're in different times, and I think Bruce made that.
Okay, yeah.
He made that point. This is way bigger. And hey, I feel dreadful for his family. That little boy is not going to be able to have his dad there for, you know, baseball games and football games and his graduation and his prom and his, you know, getting married. None of that stuff. When that boy grows up and eventually, hopefully, has children, he's not going to have the kids are never going to know the grandfather. I mean, my heart aches for all of that. But right now, what Tony Khan can provide is what Vince McMahon never has, and that's transparency and accountability. And again, that's what you signed up for, Tony Khan. When you decided to get together with the Bucks and Cody and to bring your WWE action figure ring to life, it's fun to play around and stuff like that. It's fun to make deals and T-shirts and make your little fake commercials for Impact Wrestling. This is the hard shit. This is the stuff that they don't teach you in business school. This is the stuff where you can't go to your dad and go, Dad, what can I do? Because, like, I got a 41-year-old guy that just died on my watch. And Shad can't say, son, well, this is the playbook, and this is what you do, and that's how it works.
This is how you run faster.
You can't do that. This is going to be the measure of the man. We've seen time and time again, God almighty, Vince McMahon has failed this test a million times. I don't think any greater than when Brian Pillman died and he had Brian Pillman's widow on Raw the next night, begging for money, essentially. I mean, and again, not to compare Tony Khan and what he needs to be to Vince McMahon in any way, but yeah, that's the standard.
Well, essentially, they're in the same position. I mean, so exactly. You can't compare them in that sense.
And they've said they want AEW to be, I mean, not in so many words, but they want it to be all the stuff that the WWE is not. So yeah, I think some accountability is in order, and this is where some leadership from the top would be kind of nice instead of you just hanging out backstage and being able to, you know, get Sting's autograph on a baseball bat.
What do you think Tony Khan should say?
He should talk to the family, and he goes, look, I know you guys don't want to release a lot of information about this, but we need to be completely transparent about this. We're in a very difficult time. I'm in a tough time myself politically down here in Florida. Public safety and public health is a big deal. Just let me kind of release as much information as we can. I want to respect your privacy. I understand all of that, but there is kind of this guy was a public figure. Your dad, your husband was a public figure, and people kind of need to know we're taking all the precautions here or that we blew it. And I know that that's difficult. He may have attorneys screaming at him not to say any of that. There may be 10 attorneys right now blowing up Tony Khan's phone saying, don't you dare say anything more about this because you will be sued from here to Mars and every penny that you have will be taken. I get that. But that also is part of the risk that you took during this entire thing.
All right. Well, can I throw this possibility out? And if you want to call it a conspiracy, you can call it a conspiracy. But I don't know if it's really a conspiracy because I really don't know where Tony Khan stands and the whole coronavirus thing, to be honest. But let's suppose that he does know already what's going on and doesn't want to say he knows. You know, I don't know. Maybe, in other words, maybe he doesn't need to have that talk.
Yeah, that would be disappointing, but it would also be not surprising. You know, it would be not surprising that the guy who's supposed to be the anti Vince McMahon really turns out to be Vince McMahon. You know, the guy tries to babyface himself at every turn. That would be terribly disappointing. I mean, AEW. As far as the politics and stuff, they put themselves on the list along with WWE to be an essential business in Florida when stupid DeSantis decided to go ahead and open that up, you know?
Yes.
And we know the story of Vince McMahon putting elderly people at risk like Ric Flair and all that stuff. I mean, they've tried to do the protocols as well as they can, but God forbid we somehow, some way not have people in an arena at some point in time and put somebody at risk. And it's already happened.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of times.
And so there's been, you know, the same sort of thing. I just can't tell you what it's going to take to make people take this seriously. And that's the craziest thing. I don't know what it takes because you've seen these pictures. You've seen these pictures of people in the hospital who have denied the virus up until their dying breath. They've got it. They're dying of it. And they were denying that that's what was killing them.
Well, you know, dude, I I've used this example before, but Steve Scalise almost got his life taken from him by,
yes, he did.
You know,
by crazy terrorist,
by crazy terrorist. But guess who's still on, you know, the side of the NRA today?
It's wild.
What does it take, man?
It blows my mind.
It blows my mind that this is
where we are. I think of all those great societies that have died out. The Romans and whatever, and it was all because of a tremendous amount of ignorance. And there's just so much ignorance. Even people's own personal safety, they just throw it away in the service of whatever it is that they're trying to prove, whatever point it is they're trying to prove. And I don't know, again, if Tony Khan's father died of it or if he had someone close to him die of it, if it would be a different situation. I don't know. But it would be incredibly disappointing if he knew the answer to these questions and didn't come forward with them. But again, there may be, you know, a battalion of lawyers telling him to shut the fuck up right now. I don't know.
Well, you know, let's get this clear. Let's clear this up. And I know I think you've kind of alluded to it already, but I just want to make double clear. the bottom line on this is Brody Lee is not with us anymore. John Huber is not with us anymore. That's so right. That is just a horrible in and of itself. Okay.
Let's try to make sure there's not another Brody Lee that's not with us. Thursday, January.
Thank you.
February. Let's make sure that, you know, the next guy that goes away isn't Miro, or it isn't Darby Allin, or it isn't Sting, who is not a young man, who's over the age of 60, by the way.
Right.
Let's make sure that Cody Rhodes, who is expecting his first child, is not the guy who is Brody Lee 2 weeks from now. I mean, and I think that's absolutely the solid point there, Brian.
And who's to say? I mean, has any of these people been around him since he's had this? I mean, surely somebody has.
These are all great. What, this is Bruce's closing argument. Whatever the circumstances, okay. Brody Lee's family and AEW both would serve his memory best by being forthright, whatever they are, about the circumstances surrounding his death, thereby honoring him by allowing us to all make the best informed decisions possible, protecting everyone's health. And so there are some people, and there are some people who are questioning Bruce about this. Oh, but look, in terms of tone and in terms of the questions, there's nothing wrong with anything that he wrote. There's absolutely nothing wrong with what he wrote. And if anybody wants to think that Bruce is dishonoring people, Bruce is my friend, and he's always going to be my friend. He's done great favors for this show, and he's done great favors for Brad and Britt, and he's always been a pal. But if when he's wrong, I'll tell him he's wrong. We've famously done that on this show a million times. So
come on,
he's not wrong about this. I think he's 100% right. Even the thing when we talked about with the New Day, with the Sambo situation, where I was like, I can go with you 50 or 60% of the way. I don't know Bruce. But then as he started to make the argument, I became more and more convinced. Where people were calling him full of shit on that, I was like, you know, he's kind of got a point. And I think he absolutely has a point here. Now, the people who think that Bruce Mitchell is the devil, the Bruce Pritchard crowd and the people, the Vince Russo people, who, it blows my mind how somebody who fucking looks like Vince Russo is going to make fun of how Bruce Mitchell looks. I mean, good God almighty.
That is just, I know, man. I'm sorry. I thought the same thing. That's just atrocious.
Will Chamberlain wouldn't fuck him with my dick. I mean, and Vince Russo is going to make fun of Bruce Mitchell, but those people are just going to use this as an excuse to beat Bruce Mitchell up for being inappropriate and this, that, and the other. And, oh, my God, dirt sheet boy. And that's fine. That crowd can just wallow in their own filth as far all they want to, and I don't give a shit about them. But if you objectively look at this and you're not being partisan in any way about what your feelings about, maybe you love Jim Cornette and you think that Bruce Mitchell ruined Jim Cornette's life, well, fuck you for that. It doesn't matter. 150 people have apparently ruined Jim Cornette's life, and he's threatened to murder all of them in his sleep. We get it. We got it. We know what the gimmick is at this point. I mean, if you objectively look at this and what's out there and how the situation, how Brody Lee died suddenly, what's going on in America right now, we're getting Dr. Fauci is warning us because of these Christmas gatherings that people just had to have. We may be getting a surge on top of a surge on top of a surge. There's no room for you at the hospital. They can't tell you that. The mayor in your town can't go on TV and say that. The guy who's in charge of the big hospital in your city can't say that. But there's no room for you in your hospitals. Some of these hospitals are running at 200% capacity. Tennessee apparently is on fire, and I know that may be like some bad wording on my part, but Tennessee apparently has all of these cases that are exploding all over that entire state, including Knoxville and the West and the East and small towns and big towns and everything else. It's insane what's going on, and I don't think it's incorrect to bring this stuff up. And like you said, Brian, it's for the protection of these people. This promotion was supposed to be about the boys. In order for it to be about the boys, you have to make it about the boys. And if there are no boys and they die, then you failed.
Okay, well, let's talk about that for a second. If you are the boys, what do you do right now? Especially if you're concerned like we are about their own damn health. You think they'd be concerned about it, but what do you do if you're them? Do you go to Tony Khan and say, hey, man, what's up?
Yeah, what are we going to do?
What do you do? You know,
I hear a lot in this book that I'm listening to about the Young Bucks about how much they love their children, and that I would never doubt that for a moment. They are completely devoted family men. It killed them to go to Japan and to lose time with their children. In fact, I think if you said to them, take everything away from me that you want to, take the money, take the wrestling, take everything, but just leave me with my wife and my kids, I think those guys would take that deal in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I wonder what kind of hard questions that they are looking at right now. And you wonder what a Cody Rhodes is looking at right now, expecting his first child, having lost his father a few years ago, somebody that he loved dearly and everybody still looks up to. You know, what he's thinking. I wonder what his wife is thinking as far as his possible exposure. Is any of this worth it? Is it worth it to go into a situation where maybe possibly, we'll screen everybody. We'll check them out. Yeah, we'll do the best that we can. Is that going to be enough?
Let me ask you this, and maybe I just want to make sure I'm not missing something on this. Do we know that Brody Lee, John Huber, do we know if he actually had COVID or not for a fact?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's the whole question here. Okay. I just want to make sure
These questions need to be answered for sure.
The reason I'm asking is I just wanted to make clear that I was not missing something about he did have COVID, but he died from something that was non-COVID related. I just want to make sure I was clear on the whole story.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite possible that he could have had it, and then it might have left some lasting effects, and that's happened to some people.
How can he? I mean, I don't know him that well as personally or whatever. Obviously, I don't know him personally, but I mean, outside wrestling, I don't know a whole lot. But I was seeing a little documentary thing on something about him from a few years ago when he was kind of in transient between right before he came to WWE, I think. But anyway, I don't know how he feels about the whole COVID thing. You know, I don't know if he was a mask wearer, tried to take precautions and all that stuff. So, you know, I'd like to know that because the reason I have that question is the whole, why did she have to say it was non-COVID related? Why was that specifically said?
Yeah, it feels like that was done for a specific reason. And I don't know if that feels to me like something that AEW might have requested her say. I don't know.
Well, then Tony Khan knows something then, dude.
If my theory is correct, yeah. I mean, that's possible, but I don't know.
Tony Khan would have to know something.
There's too many questions and not enough answers, and you just can't stonewall this and just fall back on, well, the family's privacy. I'm all about nobody picking the bones of somebody, but, you know, as you say, we are in a different situation here in 2020.
Yeah. I mean, let's say he's legit. It's legit, not COVID related. It's totally not COVID. It's just coincidental. It was something to do with the lungs and it was an underlying thing, but he had never had COVID. Okay. Let's say that happened. Then be specific. I know that sound again, that sounds like we're intruding on somebody, but you got to understand why people would want to know this stuff. Just say, no, this is something that he's had for a while. A handful of people knew about it. He's kind of battled it all his life, and it's kind of like asthma or something like that. But just to come out, he died. It's non-COVID related.
That's right. It's like the husband that comes home late. He comes home at 4 o'clock in the morning, says to the wife, I just want you to know I was definitely not with another woman.
Right.
Absolutely. It's like, right, the first thing out of his
mouth. Right.
He thinks he does protest too much.
So, but I don't know. And again, it goes back when you first asked me what I thought. And I'm sorry I'm that person, but when I saw that she said he died of a lung condition that was non-COVID related, I'm like, well, that's odd that was mentioned like that.
Like the first thing that should come out of your mouth.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, okay, so, but yeah, this just everything about this is just unfortunate. And, you know, it just everything about it.
So let's move on. I've been listening to the Young Bucks book, which is called Killing the Business. And if you're an Audible subscriber, you can sign up for Audible at katievick.com through our Amazon store and grab that. And I love Audible. And I've been able to listen to a lot of the Trump books and stuff like that. And now a lot of the wrestling books as well. It's really, Brian, this is really the feel-good book of the year because within the first 5 minutes of the guy reading it, we have a miscarriage and a suicide. So... I mean, it just great. really, it's the perfect way to top off 2020.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like a bundle of joy.
It is a bundle of joy.
I'm a little surprised that you're even listening or reading about your boys, your non-boys.
Well, the Audible gives you a free credit. Well, I mean, it's not a free, but you pay for it through the subscription, a credit every month, and that allows you to get like a new book like every month. And I'm like, it was the middle of the month. I didn't have anything going on. I thought, well, it's here. I should at least review it or listen to it. And so
might change your mind about them, kind of thing.
I don't know. I don't know if it will or not.
I mean, maybe you had that in mind when you got it.
It's neat to hear them talk about their dad and their mom and stuff. And their parents were very supportive of their dreams. And it's cool to see that faith in their children paid off for them and stuff. That stuff is great. And then they talk about the New Japan stuff. They go into great detail about the whole not shaking Rob Van Dam's hand and not shaking Booker T's hand and all that shit. It's pretty good. It does seem like it's written specifically for the people who jack off about Dave Meltzer and PWG. It seems like it's completely tailored to that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good inside baseball stuff about when they met Cody and what they thought of Cody. And there's a lot of good stuff about Japan. Apparently when Cody was left WWE, Kevin Owens called the Bucks up because he knew him. He goes, hey, just take care of him because he's a sweet guy, which I think is a nice thing about Kevin Owens to say that. And they talk about the Bullet Club and they talk about how hot it was and the stuff that they went through in Japan. And they go into some of the behind the scenes stuff about having the sponsors taking them out to dinner. They talk about putting the tickets on sale for All in Chicago and having it sell out in, 10 minutes or whatever it was and how surprising that was. They talk about meeting Tony Khan and about starting All Elite Wrestling. The boys are very open about when things were not going so well for them in the wrestling business. And, ROH had decided to not pay for travel for them from the West Coast, even though they were paying for the travel for some other people who were flying in for the West Coast, like the Canellises. And they even at one point had to go on, take money from the WIC program in order to eat. So I thought that was very endearing for them to talk about stuff like that and how all of that has paid off for them. Yeah. It's pretty interesting. I wouldn't go out of my way. And I don't hate the Bucks. I think the Bucks are too much into their own shit sometimes. And frankly, they're about 100,000 times too Jesus-y for me in a lot of ways. But
really?
All of that stuff kind of – I'm okay with it. I mean, people can have their faith and worship and stuff, but they're just – I think they're a little bit too showy about all that shit sometimes,
I never really noticed that. That's the reason I say I said it like that. I don't know. I just never really noticed that.
Yeah.
You may be right. I just never picked up on it.
They're fairly Jesus-y. So that stuff, I find a little off-putting. And they're not overt with it a lot in the book, but they talk about some of those things. Like, I think their dad was leading music ministry at some church in California and shit like that. But some of it's very touching, and some of the stuff about their family is it's cool because it'll remind you of some of the characters in your family and the relationship you had with your brother or your sister and stuff like that. I thought all of that was really good. Like I said, the New Japan stuff is good because a lot of people don't get a behind the scenes look at what happens in New Japan, and they provided all of that. They talk about when Cornette was booking ROH and they were in ROH and he wasn't using him worth a shit, and they were thinking about going back to Impact, but they really couldn't go back to Impact. So they talk about all that stuff, and they don't go into great detail about, hating Jim Cornette or any of that stuff. They think that he was booking a lot of stuff that was good for the 80s and the 70s, but it's not good for now. So, I mean, they've been pretty consistent about their criticisms of him on that stuff. I enjoy the part of the book I enjoyed the most was probably the stuff when they were talking about Rob Van Dam and Booker T and what they call Handshake Gate. I thought all of that was pretty interesting.
What was that all about? No, I mean, well, is apparently, is this something you have to read to booked a...
No, it's out there, and it was well publicized at the time when they were in Impact. Rob Van Dam thought that they were, you know, you're in wrestling. There's this stupid, and this is dumb. If you don't completely show fealty when you walk into a locker room and you go to shake everybody's hand in the locker room, then you are disrespecting the business and the people who came before you. And Rob Van Dam thought that that had happened, that they had kind of not been as respectful as they should have been to him. He put out a tweet saying this. They did a couple of tryout matches in WWE. William Regal was producing them. They did one where they did just a bunch of spots. I think it was – I know the Usos, they wrestled them in the second match. So they did an actual kind of match with the Usos. And, of course –
What name did they use? Was it Young Bucks?
I'm sure that – but they were, these were dark matches before anybody was in the arena.
Okay. I'm just curious.
They were just wanting to see what they could do.
Okay.
And so, of course, the Young Bucks beat the shit out of them, gave them, like, very little offense. But William Regal was completely impressed. And after it – Nick or Matt, one or the other, was leaning on Booker T's coat. And Booker T goes, "Hey, sucker, my coat. So Booker T tweets out after that my friend Rob Van Dam had, you know, talked about this tag team, the YBs, being disrespectful. And I have to say, I see why he did it now, because they did this, that, and the other. And so it became a thing that they had been disrespecting the business and didn't care about some of the guys who had been, you know, great to them in the business and shit like that. I mean, some of that is a little silly.
It sounds like it.
But they, you know, and again, they play it up like they're the greatest victims in the history of humanity, right? They're like, yeah. That also to me is a little off-putting. If they're like,
that is off-putting, yes.
But, you know, I think
they should. It should have been more like a, let's just clear the air on this, you know, and don't make it so off-putting, yeah, because that makes you just want to say, I don't care, I still don't like you, you know?
But then you don't fill up, you know, 30 or 45 minutes in audiobook, so it's not nearly as far.
True.
Well, that's part of the Young Bucks' appeal and Cody's appeal to an extent is that, you know, they have to be seen as the perpetual underdogs. You know, and to an extent, yes, they are, and they've made themselves who they are from their own bootstraps and all that stuff. But they've also been helped out in certain ways by, I don't know, a billionaire son. He kind of helped give them a little step up, just offhand.
Well, you know, too, you can only do that underdog stunt for so long, and you're really not the underdog anymore. You know, you can play the underdog stuff up to a certain point, but don't you think they're kind of past that?
I would hope so, but again, the victimization culture is as much as it, I mean, that's
I mean, you can make anybody into an underdog if that's the case.
Well, that's Donald Trump's, you know, gimmick, isn't it?
Well, there you go.
He's never lost an election. It's always been like people trying to cheat him out of this. He's never not lost a negotiation. He's always been mistreated by the Justice Department, by the Treasury Department, mm-hmm. by the FBI. Mm-hmm. Name it. It's just this victimization thing. It's never been that he's done something wrong in his life. It's always been somebody trying to get out to screw him.
Yeah, every time. Yeah.
There's a pervasive mindset on that. This is going to sound like really stereotypical, but in some of the real rural red state areas, they're all about that. They're all about like, oh, the Hollywood elite is always making fun of us and we never get our due, you know?
Yeah.
The people in New York and the people in LA, they never give us our due, and it's just flyover country. And they always have this inferiority complex that they play up to the hilt. And that's part of the reason this idiot became their champion. It's because he just bitches and whines about everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Honest to God, I think the guy has never shot under a 68 at any golf course. And if he did, it was the golf course's fault or the landscape or the greenskeeper's fault or the golf cart's fault or the guy who made the clubs or they gave him some bad balls. You know, it's never been his fault. Nothing is ever his fault, right?
I know, man. And let me just take an off ramp real fast. I don't, speaking of that, I got to tell you, these people. Do you have a TikTok account by any chance?
I don't have TikTok. No, I'm not. Okay. I'm too old for that. But then again, you
I
are.
I know, but well, I am too. But I'm more so the fact too old, but even though I get on there, it's because I enjoy watching some stuff.
I've seen you tweet out, I like.
Yeah, well, and that was just me being goofy and stuff. But I like a lot of the animal stuff, and they put a lot of old TV stuff up there that's really funny, and one of the ladies that's a famous short person on TV. I can't remember her name and what show she's on, but her son is like regular height or whatever, and he's always playing these jokes on her, and she takes the joke. I mean, it's hard to explain, but it's stuff like that's what I'm on there for. But what I was going to say is, like, people on TikTok and even Twitter for that matter, just social media, I guess, in general. But one person came to mind when you said all this about the whining, that people just get on there and whine about everything.
Absolutely.
And they whine about a comment they got about their last whining comment, tweet or TikTok. And it's like, it's talk about off-putting, man. That is just, it's just everything. And it's amazing the people who like it. And I'm like, God dang, after about three or four, can't you see where this is going, of these people? But anyway, I didn't mean to take the off-ramp there, but it's just whiny thing is just.
Because the young bucks have a diminutive physique and they're not what people, think of when they think of a pro wrestler, that's fine. And they've built themselves into what they built themselves into. But this victimization thing, it's just like, it's such a downer.
It's played out, man.
Oh, it's so, I don't know. It's so tired. It's
that,
so
well, that and the underdog thing, that's what I'm saying. The whole underdog thing, you can only be an underdog for so long. And then one of two things happen. And tell me if I'm wrong. If you're an underdog for so long, people are just going to say, fuck it.
Yeah, really?
He's not really an underdog. He just ain't worth a shit, Or they're going to say, he's not an underdog anymore. He's achieved finally because he in their case, they've won some tag team titles. They've been around the block. They beat numerous name tag teams. So, it's not like, what are they whining about?
It's difficult to make these arguments about being such an underdog when there's stories in your book about you flying in Tony Khan's private jet.
Seriously, man, that's what I'm saying.
And that's like the irony of that is they call themselves the elite and they're acting like such elitists, And I think the boys do have some sort of reflection that, we came from this and we are this, and this is all smoke and mirrors, and this could all disappear. And what really matters is our family and stuff. But also, like I said, they're still doing the victimization thing and the woe is me shit. And yeah, I mean, AEW is a very small promotion compared to WWE. They're not the behemoth of WWE. They haven't been around decades like the WWE has. They've been around 2 years. But they also have the money backing them of a guy who has access to a billionaire's bank account. So, I mean, it's not – so you're not – I mean, I don't know how much of an underdog you could possibly be, even though I did look. The Jacksonville Jaguars have only won one game all year, Bryant. I don't know if you knew that.
Now, how about that?
They've only won one game the entire year. So if anybody wants to play the woe is me, we're pitiful card, it might be the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'll give you that one.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Are they shooting for that number one draft pick? Will Trevor Lawrence go to Jacksonville, or is he going to be a J-E-T-S Jets, Jets, Jets?
And Jets were winning, I noticed, just a second ago.
They're going to fuck up tanking, aren't they?
Yeah.
Let me see what's going on as we speak of the National Football League. Oh, the Jets are winning, and they're beating the playoff-bound Cleveland Browns. God, they're fucking up bad. Meanwhile, what's happening to our Jaguars?
With 29 seconds to play.
Yep. Meanwhile, the Jaguars were soundly defeated by the hapless Chicago Bears 41-17.
Soundly defeated.
One could make the argument that, gee, I hope Tony Khan doesn't do for wrestling what his dad did for the National But that would be a cheap shot at some low-hanging fruit, and goddamn, I wouldn't want to be that guy.
No, it's a holiday still, man. You can't be doing that.
Ho, ho, ho. Danny Hodge died on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Yeah.
An amazing, tremendous wrestler, an amazing athlete, and a guy who people talk about many, many years. If you don't know who this guy is, there's a lot of matches that are out there. And when you talk about believability and credibility, Danny Hodge probably leads the pack and all of that. The double ligaments in his hand. Have you seen him squeeze an apple? Because
He was a whole apple squeezer deal, man.
That was not gimmick, folks. There was no juicer that was put in there. There were no slices that were put in beforehand. That was all him, and he could do it. They've got a picture of him on Wikipedia at the age of 80. God bless him. This was 7 years ago. crushing an apple with one hand in the Oklahoma House of Representatives.
There you go. That's amazing, man. God, that's amazing.
Let me just, for those of you that don't know, let's read a few of the accolades here, because this is pretty impressive. It says here, his reputation as a high school wrestler preceded him when he joined the Navy in 1951 at Ames, Iowa. April of 52, Hodge survived the U.S. Olympic trials and was coached by Naval Academy instructor Ray Swartz in the 174-pound division at the Helsinki Olympics. Hodge was defeated by the USSR's David Chemerinsky. I'll go with that. Going into May 1956 wrestling trials for U.S. Olympic team, Hodge was a middleweight favorite. He was eliminated May 2nd by William Smith. Smith was embroiled in controversy with the Central AAU, and Hodge was his substitute. After two Olympics appearances, Hodge placed fifth in 1952. He won the silver medal in 56 in Melbourne after being defeated by the Bulgarian Nikola Stanchev. The Dan Hodge Trophy, named after him, is the amateur wrestling equivalent of the Heisman Trophy. Not bad.
Not bad.
Trained by Leroy McGurk and Strangler Lewis, Hodge made his debut as a pro wrestler in October of 1959. His first major feud was with NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion Angelo Sivaldi. Hodge's rivalry with Sivaldi led to a bizarre event. Hodge's father entered the ring during a boxing match May the 27th of 1960 between Hodge and Sivaldi and stabbed Sivaldi with a penknife. Wrestling is so fake. Hodge defeated Sivaldi for the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship at the Stockyards Coliseum in Oklahoma City. Hodge became McGurk's principal headliner in 1962, making $80,000 a year. So, of course, I'm going to get the inflation calculator out and tell you how much that was, because that's a substantial amount of money.
Is how much? $80,000
in 1962. 80. So that would translate to, I love doing this, how about $667,000 in today's
money? Yeah.
That's even more, I think, than the Young Bucks are making. Not sure. Hodge was a perennial NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion, including holding the title 8 times for a total of over 10 years, longer than anyone else. 2007, he was inducted into the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. He made an appearance on WWE Raw, and in 2012, he honored fellow Oklahoman Jim Ross. Have you seen some of the promos on TNT about the Christmas stuff featuring AEW?
I don't think I have.
They were doing an AEW Christmas story, so I will give the boys at least credit for promoting AEW on that channel during Christmas at a time when everybody was watching. I guess they were watching the 24 Hours of a Christmas Story, something like that.
Yeah.
That is WWE cool. Hall of Famer and seven-time world champion Bret Hart has referred to Hodge as one of the greatest wrestlers in pro wrestling or amateur wrestling there's ever been. And he described being in the same room as Hodge at the 2008 National Wrestling Hall of Fame and Museum's award ceremony is a big, big honor for me. Additionally, 1958, he won the Golden Gloves Chicago tournament as heavyweight. He won a Chicago, New York inner city bout in October, beating Charlie Hood. He finished his amateur career with 17 wins, no losses, 12 knockouts. Convinced by boxing manager Art Freeman he was a better prospect than Rocky Marciano, Hodge decided to become a professional boxer rather than pursue the opportunity to compete as a boxer and a wrestler at the 60 Summer Olympics in Rome. In his professional boxing debut, he scored a first-round knockout over Norm Jackson. As a pro, he had a reported record of 8-2. Only 7 wins have been documented. He retired on July the 9th of 1959. So we lost Danny Hodge on Christmas Eve, and he was quite a pro wrestler. He had a lot of credibility that he brought to the entire thing, right?
Yeah. I don't know about you, man, but When I was growing up in younger days, really up till now, I'd really only heard his name like sprinkled throughout different things. I didn't really know a whole lot about him. I seem to know a little bit more about Luthez and that sort of thing than Danny Hodge. And I was thinking about that today, whenever I saw he passed away, I was reading a little bit on him. I was like, yeah, this is a shame. I guess it's maybe on me for not knowing, but it's like, I don't know. Is it like his name was just never really out there, at least in mid-Atlantic days? I don't remember them, you know, saying Danny Hodge's name a whole lot, you know, and like Ric Flair in promos and that sort of thing, referring to him. And I don't know. That just seems kind of weird to me for somebody like that to be as good as he was, to not be as recognized and as name worthy as he maybe should be, you know?
I don't think he was as big a star on television as Luthez was back when TV was just developing and falling in love with wrestling. So I think that's part of the reason.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It was before all that time.
I'm going to say, let me put that caveat. It's on national television. Like Luke Thesz was a national television star. Vern Gagne was a national television star. I don't think Danny Hodge really was. He was a huge star in that territory. Certainly to a generation of Oklahoma boys, he was John Wayne. And
oh, sure.
He was all of that stuff. He was John Wayne and Bruce Willis and, you know, Steve McQueen and about five other dudes rolled into one, right?
Well, it sounded like he deserved to be recognized as such, just, you know, just from everything you just read, accolades-wise and, you know.
I don't think he ever termed himself as an underdog.
No, I would probably think not, yeah.
And do we have a final score?
I don't think I've seen the final yet. They went to a commercial.
Hang on. Yep, the Jets have defeated the Browns 23-16, ladies and gentlemen.
It's like Trevor getting closer and closer to Jacksonville.
The Khan family, you are back in the running.
Lucky.
Don't fuck this up. You know how close we are to having Trevor Lawrence do a walk-in on AEW at Daily Plaza? You know how he could do a walk-on in the middle of a fucking – he could get super kicked? Do you understand? Trevor Lawrence is this close to being super kicked.
Maybe he can come in and, like, super kick Shaq, you know, when Shaq comes in to obliterate Cody or whatever.
They're going to try to, like, pitch him and shit like that. After he's done playing and stuff, they go, hey, let's fly him in. Let's let him meet Cody. Let's let him meet the Bucks. Let's let him meet Sting. I don't know if these names mean anything to this guy. I don't know. I have no idea. It's always difficult for somebody who has spent any time in upstate South Carolina to me to not have the culture of wrestling like soaked in them, right?
Right. And you got to know it at the very least, know who everybody is.
I would hope
the name.
You know Dusty Rhodes is, and that's, you know, Cody Rhodes is in relation to that.
Yeah.
Maybe Sting. I don't know, because, again, he's a young man. Sting has wrestled two matches in 20 years, I think, at least on the WWE. He's been an Impact wrestling, but if Trevor Lawrence knows who the Impact stars are from, you know, 2004, 2005, 2006.
They wouldn't have anything to worry about. He's good.
We got no problem, but. The Khan family is this close, ladies and gentlemen, to getting the prize draft pick of the 2021 draft. That's all I'm telling you right now.
Whoa, one more week? Is next week the last regular season week?
Yeah, that's it. And then of course, you got the college football playoff. You got the college football playoffs. And then, Trevor's got his game against Ohio State, so he gets to smack Ohio State around again.
Yeah, that's going to be funny. I'm not the biggest Clemson fan, but I would like to see that happen.
I don't like Clemson. I like Clemson when they play Alabama and Ohio State. That's when I like Clemson. That's when I buy all in on orange kryptonite.
And that's usually the case about this time of year, is they're probably playing one of those two teams, if not both.
Any closing statements as we wrap up the final Katie Vick is Alive of the shitty year that was 2020, Brian? Wow.
It's hard to believe that. Hard to believe this is actually the episode of the last episode of the horrible fucking year of 2020. Gosh, well, I just hope 2021 is at least is better by this time in 2021. I'll give it that much slack. I hope we're at least somewhat back to what we know as normalcy by this time next year. I know that seems like a long way off, but
didn't the WHO tell us a long time ago that 21 is going to be a good year?
They did, didn't they? How about that?
Didn't they say that back in Tommy? Let's hope that's going to be the case. Happy New Year to everybody. Again, we appreciate all the support throughout 2020. We're going to keep on rocking in 21. You do it as well. Keep yourself safe. We need you. I'll be honest with you. We need all the help we can get, and we need you healthy. And I'm very happy to see that Jim Valley continues to make some progress.
Yes.
He's fighting hard. And, you know, if that dude's fighting hard, then you should be too. Keep yourself absolutely safe, you and your family. Get tested if you need to get tested. And, man, your health is all you got. You can have all those zeros in the bank account, but then if you go away, it means nothing. Doesn't mean anything. You can have a 50,000 square foot house. It don't mean shit if you're not alive. So remember that. Bryant can be joined and followed on Instagram and on Twitter at Bry Sports. Are you also on TikTok as Bry Sports?
No, I forgot what I even am, to be honest.
You don't really want people following you right now?
No, just I'll look. Go ahead and do your thing. I'll let you know here.
It's at Bry Sports, Instagram and Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Britt Whitmire. Katie Vick Alive is our Twitter handle for the show. I'm on Instagram, BDub4Reels, B-D-U-B, number 4, R-E-E-L-Z. And if you'd like to support what we do, you can shop at our Amazon store, which is katievick.com. If you want to subscribe to Audible, like I do, you can do it through that link, which is katievick.com. Do you have it?
I do. It's at StanleyJackson23.
At StanleyJackson23. Please tell me the 23 is a nod to Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Of course it is.
It better be. That's exactly right. Until next year, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.